from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate your time today, good sir.
You're welcome.
I'm going to get to a story that you did not get to earlier today.
I really dropped the ball on that. I'm sorry.
But that's okay, because that was mine. We did a great segment, all right? Okay. The segment itself was already really, really good, so don't worry about that. Okay. But before we get to should your coach force you to go to a rap concert, we get to this story. Tom Geary, G-U-I-R-Y.
Gugliotta.
Okay. Gugliotta. The actor who played Smalls in The Sandlot.
Oh, I saw that. That's definitely not Tom Gugliotta.
Was arrested for throwing a weight through a Jeep windshield.
Does it say why?
Because the person in the Jeep stole a movie from a Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah.
Random guess.
I don't know if there should
be... Not inspired by anything.
I'd kicked in their window. I definitely think...
Oh, I didn't need a weight. Look at me.
Or, yeah, I wonder if irony ever gets you off the hook. Like, if somebody's like, hey, why don't you just wait? And then he's like, why don't you just wait and then throw the weight? I'm guessing probably no. I'm guessing irony doesn't ever help out anyone in the judicial system.
Ironing definitely means you iron your suit.
Irony.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like if your suit is wrinkled, you probably get more time.
Yeah. How legitimate is that?
Probably.
I mean, there's a non-zero chance that factors in.
Lawyers absolutely tell you, dress nice. We need you to look a certain way right now. So that, anyway, different story for a different time. TMZ obtained video.
Of course they did.
Of course they did. Appears that Tom is tossing a huge weight onto the car windshield, shattering it completely. Is it Horry or Ori? H-O-R-R-Y. I don't know.
Big shot, Bob.
Yeah. We'll ask.
Robert Ori.
County Sheriff's Office, Kevin, told TMZ that he was arrested as they responded to a disturbance call. Found him in the middle of the street. Cops say they started talking to him, and then he started asking about his wife. And that's when the owner of the Jeep shouted, "Really? My window's been shattered."
I go back to, we need Corey Majors' dramatic readings. I don't know if it's of police reports or whatever else, but that needs to be a thing.
HCSO, otherwise known as Horry County Sheriff's Office.
Nice.
Says that Tom then said, "That sucks, man. I'll pay you back. I'm sorry. I'm going to get you back." And then he also...
responsible.
Yeah, that... But that, I don't know, man.
Admission of guilt. He also then followed up with, "I did it. I'm sorry, man. I'm coming back to get you. Sorry, brother. I'll pay you back."
Look, if somebody throws a weight through your window and goes, No, my bad. I'll be right back and I'll get you. There's no way you let that person leave.
Things got even more tense though, Kevin. Oh, no. As cops say, the victim told them Tom also approached his door, rang the doorbell with a knife in his hand.
What?
And that seemed to line up with the video as well. Tom was arrested and booked for assault, disorderly conduct, and malicious damage.
Did he think like that dude was hooking up with his wife?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's the extent that I have on the story at the moment, Kevin, according to TMZ.
Kevin, are you assuming that he was operating logically?
I'm using logic for an illogical situation.
Because my thoughts were, are we dealing with substances or are we dealing with a potential mental health issue
that's
of sorts?
That's a very good point. I think usually I tend toward the, you know, but why is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to just the, it could just be something like that. So that's fair.
Or a mixture.
Yes.
Yes. That was the question.
All right, Brian Windhorst.
Why would he do that?
Hey, if I can motivate Luca like that, he should just leave his job.
I mean,
and be a motivational speaker.
Corey, we got time in the show. You could motivate Luca like that if you saw fit.
He won.
Speaking
the last
of being
game.
Fit, you said motivate Luca, right?
Uh huh.
Never mind. You got it.
Somebody did say, and I'm. The 979, because Jeep owners have all those stupid ducks on their dashboard.
What the hell?
Have you seen this? Have you noticed this?
I have not.
This is a Jeep thing, and man, I'd like to learn more about this.
And when did you turn into a late night comedy host right there? Have you guys seen this? Have you heard of this right here? What's right, the J-Lo. Deal with the Jeeps and the ducks?
The way you reacted, it seemed as if you had
I'm not familiar with this.
I noticed this. My neighbor across the street, you know, at our old house, had a Jeep and they had ducks in their windshield.
Was that Doug?
No, that was the old house. This new house has got Doug. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. I guess it's like other Jeep owners carry these little ducks around, and if they see a Jeep, they put it on their door handle to let them know they exist, and then they put it in there. And so, like, the more ducks you have, the more Jeep owners have seen your vehicle sitting in a parking lot.
So
somewhere.
This is like the Ohio State player who did good in a game or practice.
Yeah,
they're like, look how many people have seen your.
Let's little, put a little sticker on there, or what is it? The liberal women of College County, Collin County, they all flip those little decals over or something. Oh. That's their thing.
Interesting.
It says, yep.
That feels like violation of property.
And so?
That was your main concern, huh?
Yeah.
I'd be pissed if somebody just stuck a sticker on my car.
Yes. No, it's a magnetic decal you have on your car, and then you just flip it over just to let them know.
No,
you
I meant for the duck people.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a real duck.
It's a real duck. It's
rubber ducks.
Yeah.
Not stickers, Kevin. These are rubber ducks. You just leave them on their door handle, and then people take it and put it in their dashboard.
Yeah.
Look it up, dude. You'll see all the pictures.
No, I believe you. That's just super weird.
Kevin, I hope you've been...
All right, A&M alum.
That's a fair point. Don't step on the damn grass. I typed in Jeep D.
And
it said Jeep ducks immediately. What they mean and how... All right. It's from Reader's Digest. Didn't know that was still around either.
What? That little magazine my grandparents kept?
I don't know if it still comes out in magazine form or just online, but...
Dude, one day, I opened like a cabinet at my grandparents' house, absolutely full of TV guides and Reader's Digest.
I get it for the Reader's Digest, because on the cover, it would be like, how to make the perfect mashed potatoes. Plus, I climbed Mount Everest by so-and-so, and you're like, wow, that's a lot of different stuff in
there.
A lot
of information. It's like that now it's just been reduced to like the coffee shop piece of paper that you get, and you're like, oh, okay.
It's mostly quizzes.
Quizzes?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you said it smells like quizzes?
No,
I don't know, dude.
It's mostly
we got
quizzes.
Danny Green coming up here in about 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Kevin, I hope you've been able to hit the...
I tried.
Beat the heat.
Ah, yes. You know what helps with that? Milo insulation.
And that's wonderful because... Forecast says that the UK is about to experience some very bad temperatures. 48-hour blast of sun with temperatures up to 26 degrees Celsius.
What does that mean in the temperature? I understand.
Is predicted to encase the UK at the month's end as June finally warms
up.
The mercury, which currently lays low, is expected to climb towards 30 degrees Celsius by the end of June.
You said 26.
Yeah.
That is 78.8 degrees. And 30 degrees is 86.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be hearing about you have a heat wave because it's 86 in June.
Cities will be the hottest.
Stop it.
Including Birmingham, Cardiff, London, Manchester, and Newcastle. The warm spell is anticipated to sweep across Britain from June 26th to June 28th.
Okay, so for 3 days, it's going to get in the mid-80s.
Correct. It's going to be hot.
And this is why, Kevin... This is why they lost a 13-0 colony lead. Because they were like, look, we started this, but it's too hot over here.
How long have you been keeping that revolutionary joke in your pocket?
I saw it on a shirt the other day. Okay. I just thought it was hilarious.
Huh. Britain lost just real topical shirts, huh?
Britain lost a 13-0 lead. You're like, oh, in your face.
I do want to point out, though, that as much as we want to, you know, laugh at them folks across the pond,
yes,
less than 5% of homes in England, and I imagine you could translate that further out to the UK in general,
have
AC.
Ooh.
So think of 86, but you're not going inside to the AC.
Yeah, it would be like working in here for that week and a half.
You need to run this story in another state. I hear what you're saying.
You are still not finding sympathy
around these parts. Yeah. All right, gotcha.
Got a car.
Are you going to buy this? Yes or no?
Yes.
No, and you're not actually purchasing. I'm just, do you buy this, that this happened?
Yeah.
I'm going to read this section of a story, Kevin.
Sell.
From Athlon Sports. The Wayne concert was the final straw for a few players who hit the transfer portal.
Bye.
When Coach Prime told us we all had to be there to support Shador as a rapper, they were not happy at all. To be honest, it was nothing but a huge distraction, and Daddy Ball was being played. You can use that. This is the latest example of the tumultuous offseason for the Buffaloes. There were a total of 42 players that exited. I don't think that all of them left because they were told to go to a rap concert.
A&M.
But they were able to make up ground by replacing players who left. This was the second roster flip, however. And they are saying that Deion Sanders walked into a room of almost grown men and told them they had to go to his son's concert, unless they wanted to be dismissed from the team. Now, Kevin.
Wow.
Coach Prime then tweeted June 14th.
He called bull drunk.
At 2:44. He's like, that's dang on bull honky. This is one of the best lies I've heard. God bless you, and I pray you sleep well tonight because we are Lord Jesus.
You know, this is probably a dangerous suggestion. I wonder if now or in a future segment, what's the best lie you were ever told?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the one that I was convinced of that I was told was definitely you have to turn the light off in the car, otherwise... What did you just...
off air for a reason, Corey.
You have to turn the light off in the car. Parents told me that, and I was convinced of it.
For me, it was my mom who said she had a set of video cameras throughout the house when me and my sister were little. And she said, if you admit what you did wrong, you'll get a lesser punishment than if I have to go check the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And man, we folded so many times.
Yeah.
She told me one of the worst days of her parental career was the day I just stood up there and I go, all right, check the tape. Because she was like, at that point, I knew this wasn't going
to
work.
I do have a question, though. When you told her to check the tape, had you done whatever it was that was wrong? And you called her bluff and won on this one?
Your Honor, I would like to plead the fifth.
No.
I definitely had.
So you had done whatever it was that was wrong.
But I knew in this instance, I had given up too many times. And I was like, she doesn't have that. I've never seen any cameras in this house. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to take my chances.
From the 682, my parents always told me if I swallowed watermelon seeds, eating them, it would grow in my stomach. Yes.
Yes.
Same thing. It happened. All the time. From the 940, she said, I love you. Oh, dang.
I've been there. And then all of a sudden, she's like, hey, I don't think I love you anymore. And you're like, oh, no, what did I do? And then you find out it's because she's banging some other guy.
But she's going to try to come back.
Man, she is. She might call you at your work and say, hey, are you at work? And you're like, you literally called me on my work phone. And then they ask you to come out to the parking lot. And it's this whole deal.
Do you believe in the idea that if they get a glow up afterwards, then you were the problem?
I do not know if I totally understand that phrase that you just used.
Does that make
used.
Sense to you, Reggie?
Are we still talking about Dion?
No, just like if you were with a girl and she gets a glow up afterwards, then you were the problem.
Oh, you're that out of touch, huh?
I guess so. Does
the notion of a glow up is really throwing you, huh?
I mean, I can context leads me to believe like their life just got better.
Everything looks better.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they changed.
As though the lights on the dimmer switch were turned up and the glow.
I mean, you can't help but probably reflect on yourself some in that situation, right?
Why would I do that?
I mean, because maybe that means you're the problem.
Yeah, dude,
no way. Can't be.
You know, Reggie, in your instance, you're absolutely correct.
I'm undefeated.
Undefeated.
Never lost.
Never lost. All right. And that's the C block, ladies and gentlemen, for what it's worth.
I'm just going to tell you for the record, I think we should revisit what's the best lie you've ever been told.
Absolutely. Look at the text right now.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
We're definitely going to need to proofread these texts.
Well, we could do it tomorrow because if Mike's right, then we're going to need other ways to satisfy our content.
Oh, because he just doesn't want to come in?
No, because he thinks the Mavs are going to lose. Remember? Oh, he predicted
it. I'm telling you, I was sitting behind these three girls in college once, and the one girl's like, oh, yeah, he said he didn't, you know, so I think we're safe. And I was like, oh, I wish I knew that girl so I could tap her on the shoulder and be like, hey, no, you need to you need to go figure some stuff out or get the test or whatever. You need to figure some stuff out because he lied to
me. We got
to
go, Kevin. We got to get Danny Green on the phone.
Coming up next, let's talk with our three-time NBA champion and Odyssey NBA insider, Danny Green, next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, on the line is Odyssey NBA insider Danny Green. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai's family of EVs, the most electric EV lineup. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
I have a tough question for you out of the break that will decide how I'm doing. Is today going to be the last day of NBA basketball for the season?
Oh, man. This is a tough question. But I think it is, honestly.
Then I'm doing terrible, Danny. I'm doing terrible now that you said that.
Sorry. I'm not Nostradamus or anything like that, so anything can happen. Anything's possible. I'm not always right. But if I had to guess, if I had a strong inclination what it's looking like, it's just a tough place to play in Boston for you guys. So I don't know if it goes any further.
Okay, I like the tough place in Boston part. The Mavericks, the way that they performed in Game 4, was that a desperation, one last hurrah type thing, or do you just think Boston takes it up
at this point?
Yeah,
everything is desperation at this point. You guys had a hell of a game; it's a great game, and the others played well. I think you guys found something with Tim Hardaway, coming in and finding a spark. Hopefully that can translate over to the next game because we know a lot of load carries on Luka and Kyrie, and not just offensively, but now they're attacking Luka defensively. Can he withstand that playing defense? And can Kai overcome, his woes in Boston? Those are the two things, because those guys need to score a lot and defend decently enough to stay within the game. Now, can they do it? Yes, I think so. Will they do it? That's another question. So, and will the other guys play as well? Tim Hardaway's going to have to come up and score like he did, shooting the ball well, because ultimately you guys just haven't made as many threes or taken as many threes either as Boston. And that's the game today. So we'll see what happens. I don't think it's impossible, but this is a lot of a load for those two guys, and I don't know if they can withstand it. Ultimately, also, I don't think Boston shoots as poorly as they did in Game 4.
You mentioned something about Kyrie. He gives really, really well thought out answers all of the time. And one of the things he was talking about in the lead up into Game 5 tonight is he's working on quieting the Celtics crowd and quieting some of his own self-doubt when it comes to playing back there. It feels inevitable to me that every player, no matter how good you are, would run into some case of self-doubt at some point. Is that the case? And how do you deal with that?
It's the case of everybody in life, man. Yeah. We all go through it. In job situations, family situations, like, you know, am I right for this job? When you see a couple fail, like you take a couple L's, a couple losses, you're wondering, you know, if it's you. You look in the mirror and, like, if you're any type of person of non-delusion, you're like, well, why is this happening? Like, what am I doing wrong? You know, what's going on here? But Kai is a very smart individual, man. He's highly intelligent, you know, very in touch with his emotions and so his mental and everything. You know, he's in tune with a lot of things going on, you know, on the court and off the court. So he's very well-read and smart guy, so he understands. And he's old enough, mature enough to know, you know, some life. So he's been through some life as well. And he's not afraid to admit when he's wrong or when he's going through some ups and downs. We all have them. But, yeah, it's something that goes on with everybody. And, you know, I'm hoping that he gets over that, gets through that, and has a different outcome for him particularly. I mean, the outcome as a group may not be good, but I think if he has a good one, it could change the trajectory of his, you know, his results in that building. You know, because that building right now somehow has a hold on him. But once he feels like he can get over that hump, get out of that hole, and get over that mindset, because ultimately we know he's talented. He knows he's talented enough. It's mental at this point, and we all know it's easier said than done, because, you know, things happen when you're on that court, and mentally, you know, physically, emotionally, things change for you when you're in an atmosphere that you don't have control of. But yes, he's a very smart individual and acknowledges everything that's going on. So yeah, I want to see him do well and expect him to do better than he had in the first two games. But even still, I don't know if it would be enough to hold off, you know, Boston. And then we don't know if Porzingis is playing or not. I doubt he is. But with those other guys playing better than they normally did, like they play better normally than they did in game four, it's still a tough game to win.
I wanted to dive in a little bit on Jason Tatum then a little. He's, you know, we have this expectation of, man, he's a superstar, and yet he hasn't quite outperformed superstar status in any of these games so far. Has it been something the Mavericks have been doing, or is it just that's just flow of game?
I think it's a little combination of both. You got to give credit to all these teams that he's played against. They're not just letting him go one-on-one ISO, but a combination of it is him in his own mind and his head as well. And also just rhythm. Sometimes it's something you can't get to set. That's just the life of an NBA player, life of a shooter. It's ups and downs as well. You're not going to shoot 40% all season long. Some parts of the season you're going to shoot 45, 50. Some parts you're going to shoot 35. You know what I'm saying? Like 30. So it's just ups and downs, life of a shooter, life of a basketball player, where you're going to go through parts where you're out of rhythm or not in good mode and you're not making shots. The only way to get through is to continue to shoot, continue to play, and mentally find outlets to get you, you know, out of that spell. So I think it's a combination of teams playing well and also him being in his own head and, you know, not be able to find it. But I think he's found his rhythm. Last couple games I've seen him playing a lot better. So, yeah, but I think it's a combination of the two.
When you have guys like Luka and Kyrie, they take that volume. They have a lot of the volume throughout a game in their shot selection. When you're a guy like PJ and you're a guy like Derrick Jones Jr. and you get, you know, maybe three, maybe four shots a game, how do you stay prepared for that moment? All right, I might get it for this, and I got to make them.
That's the life of a role player, man. That's just all of us, you know, and it takes years and years of practice and maturity of, you know, sitting on the bench, getting off the bench, being ready and picking and choosing, not to pick and choose your spots, but being ready when your spots come. Because you may not touch the ball for the first 10 possessions, but when it comes to 11, you better be supposed to be ready and be able to knock it down. So just being mentally locked in, staying warm on the sidelines. You know, we used to have a drill in San Antonio called the Steve Kerr drill, but where he would, you know, come in dead cold and try to make shots, you know what I'm saying? off the bench, watch some film, talk about it, and then get on the court and take a shot, you know? So, you know, Steve was really good at that when he played. Obviously, he's a great coach, too, but it's not easy doing that, no matter how good or how professional you are. Coming off the bench cold, depending on what age you are, is even harder. But if you're coming in and knock down and step up and knock a big shot down, that's ultimate profession. And that's every role player is trying to figure out. So they just have to mentally stay locked into the game, try to stay warm in the sidelines. Every time out, touch the basketball if you can, you'll get a feel. Because when you get in there, you haven't touched the ball in a long time, it may feel like a rock when you touch it for the first time. So, you know, you have to find small ways, simple ways to try to keep yourself involved in the game to where, you know, you're still feeling loose and warm.
And when you're a guy like Derek Lively and you make your first ever three-pointer in the NBA Finals, are you like, sure, I need more opportunities, coach?
Nah, he knows himself well. But he obviously shot it well in the pre-draft, too, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I was saying, he shot, I said, and I was giving this comparison to, I forget who it was, but I'm like, the workouts and draft workouts are cool and all, but a lot of them, some of them, it don't matter. It don't make sense. So this guy shot a million, he shot a bunch of threes, shot them well, and probably hadn't taken one all year, but he made one, finally made one, the series, which is crazy. But yeah, he knows himself, he knows who he is, and he's ready for that moment, which is interesting. That's not an easy shot to take when you haven't shot one in a long time. But he gets a lot of good easy rhythm shots at the rim for him to feel in rhythm and feel good, and maybe some free throws. Usually you need like a basket at the rim, some free throws, and you'll feel good, you know, loosen up a little bit. Once you see one jumper goes in, it'll make things a little easier for the rest of the game.
Now, I know we were kind of joking around about the three-point shooting, but you talked about Derek Lively being ready for the moment. Holy cow. It seems like throughout this playoffs, he's continued to progress and progress and progress. What kind of future do you think he has in the league?
I think it's a really bright, great future. You know, I mean, a lot of people are seeing some things in him that I'm going to say we haven't seen before, but he looks very similar to the Tyson Chandler, you know, that you guys have had in the past. And he could be that. He could be a shot blocker, rim protector, rebounder, lob threat, and ultimately stretching the floor and knocking down threes occasionally. So he can even be the 2.0 version of it. So, yeah, and Tyson had an unbelievable career in our league, and I can see him doing the same.
I'm also curious about this. Whenever the foul has been called, the circle, the guys get into the little huddle, what do y'all talk about? What do y'all talk about in those little huddles? Is it just
what you should be talking about and what you ultimately
both.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Sometimes it's an argument about what happened to play before, or, you know, obviously you should be moving on to the next play. You should be talking about what the next defensive strategy is or the next play down. Like, all right, this is what we got, or we need to rebound. You know, emphasize on what should be done and what needs to be, like, picked up. Sometimes it's bringing in, like, oh, you missed your rotation, you should have been here. It might be an argument or there might be something else, but ultimately it should be, you know, let's get it together, guys, let's regroup, let's, you know, fix this, or next play down, we got this. It should be a combination of those things.
Okay. And then does it ever turn into, like, hey, were we eating after the game or anything like that? Or
I'm sure during the regular season, there's probably some discussions.
But not tonight.
Of things that you probably shouldn't be talking about at all.
Yeah, get your crap together. It's the finals. We do this segment, Mavs win because Mavs lose because. I know you gave us a variety of different of options, but if you had to boil it down to one thing, Mavs win tonight because?
They win because they made threes and guarded three-point line well. You know, it's ultimately the game for them. You know, not taking away, I mean, obviously, you know, take away some of these because they get up a lot of them. But you take away some and have them more contested. But most of the games that they've lost is the three-point line battle. They're not taking enough of them, and they're not making enough of them. They just haven't shot. Boston, even when they shot terrible, they shot 25%. Dallas shot 23%. They win because they actually made shots. They had help. Kai and Luka played. They did what they're supposed to do. They played their game. But the others and everybody else made some shots and made threes. They need to make threes to be in the series and not win the game.
And we've loved talking to you all season, but here's my dream scenario. I know it looks bleak. The Mavericks win tonight. They win Thursday. They win Sunday to have the greatest comeback in NBA history. And then you come back with us next Monday to celebrate the NBA championship.
Hey, man, I'm there. I may not be at the parade, but I'll be on the show.
There we go.
Let's go.
I'll be on that parade is if they sign me for next year. But
there you go. Thank you very, very much, good sir. We appreciate all the insight.
Oh, anytime, man. Stay hopeful. I said nothing is ever impossible. But, you know, there's always a chance, and we'll see what happens tonight. But I'm rooting for you guys. We all want to see more basketball. So, yeah, we're definitely rooting for him.
Hell yeah. Danny Green right here, ladies and gentlemen. That was our Odyssey NBA Insider Calls. Brought to you by the Hyundai family of EVs, the most electric EV lineup. And you just heard it. He said, you can do that. I'll be in the show next
week. Dude, and on top of that, that line, we all want more basketball. We want,
true,
not just because I'm a Mavs fan. This series has been fun so far. Like, the playoffs have been fun so far. I just want more of it. I want more Mavs basketball. Yes, it is because I'm a Mavs fan. I want more Mavs basketball. I want to see this thing all the way through to Game 7.
And look, I know, in the crosstalk with Sean and RJ, Mike said if the Mavericks win tonight, he'll be like 25%.
He's a damn lie.
Bull crap.
He'll walk in here tomorrow talking about we're going to win this.
The Mavericks, yeah, the Mavericks win tonight and it's 3-2 coming back to Dallas.
He's dropping F-bombs on air.
Yeah. He's going to be pumped.
We know.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's take you to Globe Life Field as the G-Bag Nation is getting ready for that Rangers series opener against the Mets. Thank you very much to D&M Leasing for help facilitate this crosstalk. Gentlemen, how is ya? And for people who may not know, where is ya in the ballpark?
Wonderful, Hagee. Thanks for asking. We're at Comerica Backyard. So when you come on in, we're about the 200 levels and center field. You can come say what's up to us. I believe doors open 5 o'clock-ish. So come on by, say hello. We'd love to chat with you, get ready for Rangers Mets. And, of course, a big game 5, baby. We're still alive.
Now, my question about that was going to be, because we haven't sold Mike yet. He says if the Mavs win tonight, he'll be 25%. Excited, which I think is a woeful understatement. Do you think, have the Mavericks re-sparked your hope, or do you think they've just delayed the inevitable?
I do think they have re-sparked it in me. That is for sure. Now I went from like, hey, I was surprised when they won the other night. I really just thought this thing was going to be done, and I said I would be shocked if they force a game 6. I still will be shocked if they do that tonight. If they can put together back to back games anywhere close to what they just did in game four there, that was ridiculous. So I am anticipating a fun game. I'm not expecting them to get blown out. But I do think Boston is still obviously the better team. I still don't know what kind of Kyrie I'm going to get in Boston. And so I'm hopeful that he will play like the best version of himself. But if he doesn't, which I'm not guessing that he will, they will probably end up losing this one, sadly.
Why do you say I'm guessing that he won't? Is that just based on, well, like we've seen it for the last 3 years when he goes back to Boston?
Yeah, exactly. There's just something about that place, and I do think he's capable of overcoming that and having a, you know, shut me up sort of moment to guys like me that are counting him out right now. But I definitely can't bet on it, and I don't expect Boston to put together back-to-back performances that were just so awful. You know, I think Ruben just gave us the stat they haven't lost back-to-back games, but maybe on 4 different occasions this year.
Well, you know what? They hadn't lost a road playoff game all year until they did.
I like what you're doing, Hagee. Give us the positivity, baby.
And I'm going to try to feed into this theory more if they win tonight. But I want you guys to ponder something. I'm going to debut this theory with you guys right here, right now. Boston owes the sports gods because of what happened in 2004. No baseball team had ever come back from a 3-0 deficit, but they did that against their hated Yankee rivals. And the sports gods are like, someday we will come and ask a favor of you. Can't say when, can't say where. It's right now. And the Boston Celtics now will be on the wrong end of the first 3-0 comeback in NBA history.
Just beautiful.
It is.
I mean, my gosh, that feels like, from our perspective, that's a fairy tale.
It is.
That is hugely poetic. And I also saw something about they have this date in history is very, very important to them as a fan base. And I would like it's to ruin that for them as well. Last time they won a championship.
Yeah, they beat the Lakers, I think.
Yeah. So I'd like to ruin this date.
That would be nice.
Forever.
Kind of spoil it. They got their 17th banner. Go bleep yourself. Banner 18 ain't happening tonight. Look, I mean, if anybody's going to be able to do it, and you can write a fairy tale, it would be the greatness that is Luka Doncic with a Kyrie Irving and really Derek Lively, who has emerged, I believe, as your third best player and will be moving forward. He's gotten better every single game. I do agree with Mike earlier talking about P.J. Washington. Like, if you don't get P.J. Washington offensively, I mean, I don't know that it's reasonable to expect that all of your role players come in and just hit shots like they did at a high level. But I am interested. Like, Derek Lively hitting that three was one of the greatest moments, I think, in the American Airlines Center in the history. Like, that place just erupted afterwards. We know he's capable of doing it. We've heard he does that in practice. We got visuals of him doing it at the Garden yesterday in practice during shoot around. Does Derek Lively start to stretch the floor? And maybe he is. He's confident. He's like, bleep this. Why not? It's do or die anyway. I'm going to go ahead and just shoot these up from three now.
Yeah. Why not, dude? They're not really guarding him at all. It also went to a defense. It wasn't the ensuing possession a block, and then he goes down and hits the alley oop. It was an unbelievable sequence that started with the 3-pointer. It was just amazing. I did want to just mention one thing as well in regards to this whole game tonight, and something I hadn't thought about. But Mike in Crosstalk talking about Porzingis and how he just wants to be suited up for team photos, basically. If they ultimately win this thing. I had not considered that at all, but I don't expect him to play.
I don't either.
I mean, not even for a single second, but I thought that was interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Also, in case you needed another stat, the Mavericks are 3-0 in game fives this postseason.
Oh, I like that too. I know Boston Bryant's hoping we get a game six back home.
I feel like I'm going to know if they're going to be all right in the first 3 minutes of the game. You know,
okay.
Can they provide the same defensive pressure to Boston that they did consistently Friday night? And if they can do that, then I think the dynamics have flipped enough that I'd feel comfortable being as bullish as I was on them to start the series.
Do you guys think that, let's say the worst case scenario played out, do you think the NBA Finals MVP is going to Jaylen Brown if they win tonight? Or do you think that could be up for grabs depending on how tonight plays out?
Totally up for grabs. I think it's totally up for grabs. I haven't looked at the odds to see like if it's a super heavy favorite one way, but I don't understand how you could have a super heavy favorite for them. I think right now you would go Jaylen Brown.
He's a minus 230, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, that is a pretty heavy favorite.
Because Drew Holiday's plus-minus was so bad. It was, like, one of the worst in finals history. I mean, are you going to hold that? So, I mean, if Brown has a good game.
He dropped to 38-1. Okay. So
if Brown has a good game, I think it's probably him. But there is room for somebody else to emerge and maybe steal that.
Who else, though? I mean, is it really just him and Tatum?
And White, maybe?
White. I don't even have White on the board. The next person is Luka. And obviously, you would have to think they would have to get to, I imagine, at least a game seven for him to actually have a legit shot at pulling that out.
We could pull Jerry West here and be an MVP from a losing team. We've done that with Chuck Howley before.
I like that.
I think it was Super Bowl V, I want to say. So, yeah, maybe we can get Luka the MVP, but not be the – well, we'll see. They need to win it, I think. But there is a history of this. I think
there's
it happened in 1969, I think.
That is correct. That is very good. Nice.
There was some talk about that, I think, in the – wasn't it the Iguodala MVP? Weren't they talking?
It might still go to LeBron.
LeBron. That was the closest I'd seen.
You guys are correct about that. Brought us, since we got some historical info from me, I really like that. How are you feeling about tonight's game? And is there anything that will make you be like, all right, because Dawson said first 3 minutes. What are you looking for to make you think this could be Mavs night?
Man, I think you guys did a great job. And I love when Reggie interjects on your show with basketball stuff because he is really good at this stuff.
Damn right.
And, you know, and you guys were kind of running some things around about when do you need to see certain players and what you need to see happen. I think you guys walked us all through what we need to see. You know, if there's some things, if they're searching for shooters, then you're probably going to see Hardaway. If you're going, you know, if things are kind of stable and they're playing well like they did the other night, I could see them just running with how whatever group's on the floor. So this thing can go a couple of different ways. I think they still have to play with that desperation that they played with the other night. They did a great job rebounding. The defense was outstanding. They knocked down some shots. The inside game was good. So, you know, just all that, if they can just muster that up for one more game here, get this thing back to Dallas in the game six, I think you're creating a lot of doubt in Boston's mind if you find a way and go beat them on their home floor and then get this thing back to Dallas.
Broadus, did you see Derek Lively is really big on your desperate team theory? He came out and he was like, yeah, look, we got to play like the desperate team.
You do. And, you know, and it's funny, I've listened to your guys' show before, and Mike was like, yeah, Broadus always kind of jokes around. I'm not joking around about the desperate team theory. Trust me. I've been in week two of an NFL season, and you get beat in week one, and you feel that pressure on you. And, yeah, I feel like, though, that when the Mavericks are hustling and they're closing out and they're in position, they're not letting backdoor cuts and things like that or guys get to the rim, you know, they're a much better team. They just got to, you know, they just need to show that tape, you know, that how they played the other night. They go, guys, this is how we have to play tonight. This is exactly how we have to play. They made Boston quit the other night.
Yes.
You know, you got to find a way to make Boston quit on their home floor. I think it's going to be a tall order, but you know what? Hey, let's see what happens. Dallas is, you know, they're in a position that they forced this game, so let's see if they can find a way to get this thing back to Dallas.
What do y'all got coming up on the program today at Globe Life Field?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Your guy C.Y. is going to join us at 4:20, and nice. Bobby Carella, Mavs.com at 3:20. So we're loaded for the next 4.5 hours, Pure Gold, as always.
Roll home with the GVAG Nation, or go see them at Globe Life Field. We have in the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin. Let's go, Mavs.
I don't care about Vegas.
Okay.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.